This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
All right, we have a fast show tonight, 6 to 7 right here, Bluck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. If you want to get in and talk to us, 312-332-3776. It's Friday. It gets weird.
Yeah.
Each week, it gets strange
with the
phone calls. And we also get to talk with one of our favorite football friends at 6:35 tonight. We'll talk to Shea Pepler-Cornett. We'll preview Wild Card Weekend, Bears, Saints, and everything else going on in the NFL this weekend. So we'll talk in 30 minutes with Shea Pepler right here on ESPN 1000. So Bears, Saints, this weekend, what chances do you give the Bears to go to New Orleans and win this football game? Obviously, defensively, the Saints defense is very good, and the Bears offense is going to have to move the ball down the field, not only to eat up clock like they did at certain points towards the end of the season, but also you have to score points, and when you get to the red zone, you have to score touchdowns.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I've said that all week, that that's the recipe. You know, the game plan versus the Packers worked, but the problem was you couldn't score touchdowns. You scored touchdowns on the opening drive, but after that, it was field goal, field goal, field goal, and that's not enough against a high-flying offense. And I know Drew Brees can't throw the ball around like he used to, but they still have Alvin Kamara, who's supposed to come back. They got Michael Thomas. This team can move the ball. You know, they're one of the best offensive teams in the NFL. They're number 7th in DVOA. Ding. So right now, you have to score touchdowns.
What was that ding for?
It was because you're shuffling your papers. It was the ding that I mentioned DVOA.
I'm looking through
in the first four. I made it to 4 minutes. So
I've got a whole heck of a lot in my pile here. I've got this story about an object that whizzed by Earth, and scientists are saying it probably came from an alien world.
Not today.
Harvard professors assessed this.
Mark that down for Wednesday for next week. Next week.
All right.
That's what we should do. Go through all your stories, and we'll schedule when we're going to be able to talk about them next week, because we've got so much.
I don't think Mike would like
them,
that.
I give them like a 25 to 30% chance to win, the Bears.
Wow, that's high.
Really?
20 to 30% chance to win?
Yeah. I mean, I thought I was...
It's a 10-point line. The Saints are at home.
I know.
They have the better quarterback.
That's 25%.
Their defense is really good.
Okay, fine.
And you're saying 20 to 30%?
20%. 20 to 25%.
Wow. All right. Things get a little weird here on the Friday night program, Black and Abdallah. We start with Mitchell and Des Plaines. Mitchell,
and
you're on ESPN 1000.
And that's the bottom line.
What's up, Mitchell?
Hey, what's up? Hey, listen there, Team Gemini and Team Sagittarius.
Hey, Gemini?
Yeah, no, you're Gemini to Team Gemini and to you,
right.
Team Sagittarius.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, you're mutable signs, so you're highly, you know, changeable. But one thing that's very consistent about Team Gemini is that you have this duality of basically having two points of view, because the Gemini is the twins. And Sagittarius, you're ruled by Jupiter, which is very expansive. So you have a lot of sage-like type of thoughts that are very, very expansive and rich with really good things. But the bottom line is this. When it comes to the game on Sunday, the only way that the Bears have a chance of winning is that Trubisky's going to bottom out, okay? It's like you said, Team Jeff and I, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, that, you know, this whole thing is going to basically bottom out. Well, it's at 96%, okay, in Trubisky's favor, bottoming out. The other 4% is going to happen on Sunday. They're going to pull Trubisky, okay, and then Foles comes into the game. Now, with the better offensive line with the Bears and the emphasis on the running game, now you have a contender. Okay, for those neophytes that are Trubisky truthers, they feel that there's an equal value to Ryan Tannehill. No, not a shot. Tannehill throws on a dart. He throws a laser. He throws downfield. Trubisky, on his best day, has never done that. Plus, Trubisky cannot read a defense. Okay, we've been saying this for 4 years. So what's going to happen is, as you just said, the Saints' defense is really strong. They're going to destroy Team Trubisky, who does not have the capacity, or what I call the technique, to basically overcome his flaws. They're going to pull Trubisky because basically Nagy's going to say enough's enough, like he did with the Atlanta game. Foles is going to come in, and Foles is going to basically make it super close. it's going to come down to like a three-point game because Foles got a raw deal. Okay, I want to conclude on this, Team Gemini and Sagittarius. Nick Foles got the biggest Ross deal with regards to how Nagy treated him this season. Okay, and if they were lucky, okay, they'd be lucky to have Foles back. And if the Foles goes back to Philadelphia and does a great job, which he's going to, the biggest problem was between Foles and the fact that when he really had to understand Nagy, they couldn't communicate. Knowles wanted to do a high tempo offense, and Nagy was basically had him strapped. He had him strapped with not putting a focus on the running game. Plus, the offensive line was really bad. So, for those people that think that Trubisky is going to become the holy savior, well, then you got something else coming down. Because, brother, I'm telling you right now, the bottom line is this. Okay, when Foles enters the game, it's going to be a game changing moment. I want to know what you think.
Thank you for the call, Mitchell. Have a great weekend. All right.
Me too.
All right, so Mitchell has it. We will get to the first bottom line is Trubisky will fail. Mm-hmm. Second bottom line, Foles will get into the game. It will be close, and then he will. Did I hear him say he's going to move on to Philadelphia? He's going to go back to Philly?
I don't know where he's going to go, man.
Mike and Lombard, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys, how are you?
We're good.
All right. I didn't get on with Tom and Sylvie, but I wanted to make a comment on what everyone's been talking about the last few days. You know, 2 weeks ago, we were all on Nagy. Did he finally, give the play calling up? And, everyone was upset because he was too stubborn. And even Steve Young is saying, you got to roll Trubisky out. You got to keep him on the move. Nagy blew that game against Green Bay. And if my sons and I, you know, they recorded the game. We watched every play, which is kind of crazy, but we did. 22 pocket passes. 10 rollouts. First drive we score, it's all running. Nagy reverted back. If you look at the play when they fumbled, it was 7-7. Three plays right after that. Patterson up the middle, 3 yards. Trubisky from the pocket, incomplete. Trubisky from the pocket, incomplete field goal. It reverted to Nagy again. Ian Rappaport came out on the NFL Network and said he's got word that Nagy's taking the play calling again. I don't know what happened after 2 weeks. Everybody finally figured out the problem with Nagy. Everyone was figuring out, do you give him credit? Because after a year and a half, he finally gave up his stubbornness. And now we're back on Trubisky. Guys, watch the game against New Orleans. He's got everyone duped. He rolls them out a few times, and everyone thinks it's Trubisky again, and the play calling's good. It's all Nagy. And if he wasn't calling the plays again, and the plays were Minnesota, Houston, and Trubisky ran 13 more of those plays instead of pocket, we win that game. Call me crazy, but I watched every play. That's the issue. And Sylvie and Tom and everyone else called it out, even the NFL Network and Steve Young and everyone else. And now we're back to Trubisky. Guys, it's Nagy. It's not Trubisky. What do you got to say about it?
All right, good call, Mike. And you know, I think a lot of this is, I don't think Mitchell Trubisky is necessarily playing much better football as of late. I like what Mike is saying there. It is the head coach. It is the play calling. The entire time that Trubisky or Nick Foles were struggling, what was the conversation on this show? Run the football more. Why are they not running the football?
Yeah.
Nick Foles would be helped out by running the football a little bit more.
It's both, though.
It is, but you would... I think Matt Nagy got to a point this season where he realized that his back is up against a wall, and if it gets much worse, he's automatically out. He had to change to then save himself.
But we can agree that it's not as easy as saying it's Trubisky or it's Nagy. It's both. It's both. Did Nagy take too long to adapt his playbook to the quarterback that he had and not the quarterback that he wanted and thought he had? Yeah. Does Trubisky still struggle when he's forced to stay in the pocket and go through his progressions and throw down the field more than 10 yards? Yeah.
Yeah.
Both things are true. They're both garbage. I want them both gone.
And I think that's a fair criticism, is that you don't think Nagy is good enough either way, and that Trubisky's not good enough to get this team to where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they could both come together and upset the Saints this weekend, and then we could change our tune and change what we think of this team. But in reality, from what we've seen that they've given to us to this point, here's the thing. To upset a team on the road as a 10-point dog on wild card weekend, you have to have a quarterback who has some swag, right? To go into a place that usually is hostile, but there's not going to be fans there, right? There's no fans at any of these games. What, maybe like 3,000 fans in the Superdome? Mm-hmm. So, like, that's not going to be about it. But, like, you can't have Trubisky out there looking like he's not confident. And usually what happens is he gets the deer in the headlight look the moment things go wrong. How many times has that happened in Trubisky's career? And then he acts like that in the game until the team is down 3 to 4 touchdowns. And then he starts throwing for yardage. And then the Trubisky truthers come out and like, oh, look at the stat line. Oh, he almost put up 300 yards. And you're like, yeah, dude, they were down by 4 scores in the fourth quarter.
Well, it's like the game,
it
against,
doesn't matter.
The game against the Packers. They were down 41-10 with 10 minutes left in that game. And then they ended up scoring twice. It's like, okay, cool. But you were down 41-10 in that game. So like, you weren't in that game.
He needs to come out and play well from the start and have, you know, he can say during the week that he's going to let it loose and all this stuff. He says a lot of things throughout mm-hmm. the weeks, and it doesn't necessarily correlate with the way he plays when we get to Sunday. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 312-332-3776. George in Old Town, you're on ESPN 1000.
You guys, I think the key to the game is stopping the run, just like the Packers stopped Tennessee. I mean, you're going to have five guys on the line, three guys, you know, 5-3-3, and you're going to have to stop the run because that sets up everything. Hands up after 3 seconds and got to get to the quarterback. I mean, Trubisky's still going to have to play good, but it's all about the defense.
Thanks for the call, George. And, you know, I would say stop the run, absolutely. But Alvin Kamara against the Bears this season, it was the passing game that he was killing the Bears and the linebackers. And those matchups when he would leak out of the backfield and Drew Brees would dump it off to him, he was just running all over the field over the Chicago Bears. And now Roquan Smith, I doubt he's going to play.
He's listed as questionable, but odds are from Jeff Dickerson, who covers the team and joined Waddle and Sylvie earlier, is that he doesn't believe. He called them listing him as questionable.
Correct. Which could all be a game between the Bears trying to play injury report games with the Saints so they don't know what to prepare. But listen, Roquan Smith has been fantastic this season. One of the best linebackers in the National Football League. A big problem for the Bears that he's going to be out if he is this weekend. But it was Kamara out of the backfield on those swing plays that really hurt the Bears in the first matchup.
Just look at how Danny Trevathan got beat against the Packers. And I would look for more of that this week. If I'm the Saints, I'm looking to the middle of the field and trying to get Kamara in space in the middle of the field, get him matched up on a linebacker, and then he uses speed, and then you just take it and and it's Drew Brees. He can't throw that far down the field, so you're going to see a lot of dink and dunk down the field, and get your playmakers the ball, get Michael Thomas the ball, get Kamara the ball, and have them try to beat their matchup. And if their matchup is in the open field with a linebacker, they're probably going to win that matchup.
Eric Ostrowski is producing the show tonight. He was not with us the other night, but Adam put a versus singing contest together here on the show, Eric.
Love versus.
Yeah.
Probably one of the good things out of 2020.
Fantastic, right? Two people go against each other. They sing their songs back and forth. Adam set it up. It was Trey Tunes to a song that Trey Tunes wrote about Mitchell Trubisky. Mitchell, the 10-yard quarterback, basically, is the idea here because his stats from 10 yards to the line of scrimmage are fantastic.
Right.
10-plus, he's not very good, right? And then he gave me the lyrics to sing on air. This is what it sounded like. It was awful. There was Rodgers, Fitzpatrick, Cousins, and Minshew, Hill, Tannehill, and Rivers, to name a few. But do you recall who faced the weakest defenses of all? Mitchell, the 10-yard Trubisky.
And so on
pretty,
and so forth.
Bad,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not awful.
Can you pinpoint when he lost it, though, right?
Yeah, you can hear when he lost it.
Yeah.
I think I went through puberty.
Yeah.
A little tongue twister in there. Two defenses, Like, there's a couple defense things.
I tried to point it out to these guys, and they're like, no, you just suck. And the whole thing. And, you know, Trey Tunes does it up big. He does the whole, you know, the song. He's got it all working. And
there was Rogers Fitzpatrick.
You know a bass drop
I feel
is coming.
The emotion already.
Yeah, it's good, right?
Hilton and Hill and Rivers to name a few. But do you recall who faced the weakest defenses of all?
You know the bass is coming.
J.R. Trubisky had very minimal throws. He was not a worry.
So while he's doing this, Chris is complaining that he didn't have music.
I mean, Trey Tunes sounds great.
Acapella is insanely difficult.
It's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Eric. Come on.
I'm not a professional singer.
No one said you were. But I would think that Rudolph the Red, as someone who celebrated many of Christmases, I believe at least 35 of them, you would know...
Correct.
It's good math.
You would know the words and the melody, not the words, but at least the melody of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
But you're assuming
do
that
the Blacks not go a caroling?
I don't think we have ever.
Oh, well, I mean, maybe you should.
Here, listen to the final part.
Please don't throw picks in the red zone.
So, like, he did it up big, right?
Like, yeah, he did it. So Chris was complaining. So now, our friend Trey Tunes.
Yeah, I mean, he took... my air check there of what I did on the air. And
because I wanted a remix. I was like, I need some ad-libs. Yeah. I want some, you know.
He produced it up big for
God,
us.
God, he's great.
There was Rogers, Fitzpatrick, Cousins, and Minshew, Hill, Tannehill, and Rivers, to name a few. But do you recall... who faced the weakest defenses of all? Mitchell 10-yard Trubisky had very minimal throws.
There you go. Keep going.
He was not a worry to defenses he opposed. All of the football experts always criticized his game. There was no one more brutal than Mitchell from Des Plaines. Hey! Then one day, Nick Foles got hurt. I think he pinched his hip. So Mitch became the captain of this sinking ship.
That's just terrible.
Backed into the playoffs, on to the Saints in the Superdome. See, this is where I got messed up. Mitchell 10-yard Trubisky. Please don't throw picks
in the red zone.
See, Trey Tunes is going to be so much better. See, I suck. I'm awful. So there you go, Eric.
He lifted that up for you, though.
A little bit.
He
can't help you with that one note, though.
What some production value can do to a segment?
Yeah, I mean, he helped you out a little bit. You're still not going to Hollywood.
I
don't want to go to Hollywood.
Not that you shouldn't, but you sounded super white trying to, like, go with the beat.
Yeah.
Not that you shouldn't, but...
Listen, I am what I am.
Yeah, that's fair.
He can't rap. He can't sing. That's not what he's here for, though.
I'm not doing that.
He's not good at UIC Flames basketball.
And takes.
Yeah.
All right. So I was looking up some Bears history earlier today and some things that I just found interesting. And it's the fact that this is the 9th playoff game for the Chicago Bears, Bear Saints, 9th playoff game since 2000. Think about that. 20 years? Ninth playoff game. It's the first road game.
And one year they went to the Super Bowl.
But exactly. It's the first road playoff game since 1994. It's the second time since 1990 the Bears will face off against the Saints in the playoffs. Since 2000, the Bears have only won 3 playoff games. And like you said, Abdallah, they went to the Super Bowl that year. Mm-hmm. And then, like, there you go. Since 2000, they've won 3 playoff games. What else did I look up? The great Bears teams of the 80s. Yeah, everyone, every generation in Chicago sports says the great 85 Bears. And did you realize that those great teams in the 80s, they won 5 playoff games total? Wow. Think about that. The greatest generation of Bears football.
Won 5 playoff
the
games.
The 80s. They won 5 playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
3 of them in 1985.
There you go.
Those playoffs. The Bears won 5 playoff games in the 40s as well. They've beaten Washington 3 times in the playoffs. They've beaten the Giants the most times ever, 5.
Mm-hmm.
They've only played 3 games ever against teams in the NFC North in the playoffs. Twice against the Packers, once against the Vikings. Let me ask you guys this. What do you think the greatest victory in Bears history is? Is it the winning the Super Bowl in 1985 season, the 86 Super Bowl there? Is that it? Is that the greatest win ever in Bears history?
It's the first one that comes to mind.
First one that comes to mind. But if you dig into the Bears history.
Is this what I'm supposed to do, the thing?
Hold on. Not yet. He's got a thing.
We got things.
Eric, I would say some people are probably unaware. On December 8th, 1940, is the Bears' greatest win ever. They beat Washington 73-0 for the championship.
Woo!
73-0 for the championship. 1940, December 8th, 73-0. It's debatable. It's probably up there. You say that game. You say the Super Bowl win.
I would
probably
say that game.
One of the games, you know, they've won 2 NFC championship games. You probably pick one of those as well. Put it in the conversation. I tried to search earlier today. The Tribune has a paywall to go back and find old pages. The Chicago Public Library, you have to have a login to get into that stuff.
You have a library card?
I don't have a library card. I can't do that. Okay. But I did find a page from the newspaper from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch from December 9, 1940. And I sent it to Abdallah. Do you have the thing
I
now?
Have
you
it.
Have the
I
thing
have it.
Now?
I have it. I have it.
Can you tell me what you see there, sir, on the newspaper, 1940.
Monday, December 9th, 1940. Records fall as Bears rout Redskins 73-0 in pro playoff. Oh. Washington's 5-man line fails to cope with Chicago attack. Omanowski runs 68 yards for first touchdown, and after that, scores come thick and fast.
You hear that? Thick and fast. The Bears scoring thick and fast.
A crowd of 36,000 paid over $112,000 to see the title game.
So that's the headline on the newspaper.
Hold
Monday,
on.
December
Hold on.
9th, 1940.
As we break for commercial from Westridge, Kentucky Straight Bourbon, Real Sour Mash, bottled in bond. When good fellas get together, they enjoy a Westridge, Kentucky Straight Bourbon.
That's right, good fellas, when they get together.
Now back to the sports. Other things on that day.
No, give me some of these stories.
I'm giving you other sports from that day.
Here you go. Here's a story on the page. Farmer stockholder will purchase bees.
A farmer stockholder will purchase in Boston the bees. He will become the sole owner of the bees.
Here's another story. When we look at basketball, position of the feet is important in basketball shooting. Stanton says. How about that story?
The chest and the set of the feet is important to shooting a basketball, says Stanton.
Stanton's on it. 1940.
We'll see. I don't trust him, but we'll see. We'll be back from a message from Styx, Bayer, and Fuller. Styx, Bayer, and Fuller. 3 1/3 powerful field glass. $395. Get the binoculars so you can creep on all the lasses. And now back to the sports. Harmon tops for the year. Michigan football ace scores 141 points in pool to decide outstanding athlete of the season. Hack Greenberg came in second, while champion Joe Lewis drops from 3rd to 7th.
That's the newspaper in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, December 9th, 1940, after the Bears beat Washington.
What a game by those Chicago Bears!
We'll preview Wildcard Weekend with Shea Pepler next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
We were talking about the run game and Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears heading to New Orleans this weekend. I wonder how early they try and get Allen Robinson involved into the mix this weekend.
Well, they didn't. He didn't have a target until almost the end of the third quarter against the Packers. What are you doing?
And if we go back to the wild card game against the Eagles in 2018, Allen Robinson was the best player on the field that night. He was awesome that night.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to him stepping up. Let's preview all of the action in the NFL on Wildcard Weekend with Shea Pepler-Cornett, one of our favorite football guests. She joins us. She's also on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM, the NFL Radio Network. Shea, you can follow her at Shea Pepler on Twitter. Shea, what do you think of this matchup, Bears-Saints this weekend? Do you think the Bears have any chance of upsetting New Orleans?
I do. So I did a radio show yesterday, and the host said to me that the Bears are the Saints are the biggest favorite over the weekend. And I didn't know that. And I thought, well, I guess it's kind of par for this course. But if you think back, also, hi, guys. So good to talk to you.
Hi, Shay.
Hello, Shay.
Sorry, just jumped right in. Hello. It's encouraging that the Bears played the Saints tough in New Orleans when they faced earlier this season. Obviously, a three-point loss in overtime. That's encouraging to me. Honestly, the biggest question mark I had, and I've been saying this for the last few weeks, it's no longer the offense, which I can't believe I'm saying this, but now it's the defense, especially if Roquan Smith can't go. That's a problem in terms of tackles, in terms of how he feels. If he is go, is he on some sort of snap count? Like, that is the most concerning thing to me, especially since it sounds like Alvin Kamara is going to play. And Drew Brees could be back to 100% healthy. All those things frighten me if you don't have a guy like Roquan Smith on your defense. It's kind of like what we saw when Akeem Hicks was out. Like, these guys are much more of a factor when it comes to the entire unit than I think people realize, and it's why we saw the Bears defense dip towards the end of the season. So that is really my biggest concern. But if Roquan can go and you know, they're at full strength, I feel good about the Bears going to New Orleans. I don't think they deserve to be the biggest underdog of the weekend.
See, I'm still skeptical about the offense because you had that great offensive output against some of the worst defensive teams in the NFL. You True. Play against the Packers, you still only score 16 points. Yeah, you controlled the clock and you had some long sustained drives, but after that first drive of over 7 minutes where you scored the touchdown, you couldn't get into the end zone. So to me, if this team can't convert on third down and they end up kicking field goals again instead of scoring touchdowns, you're not going to keep up with the Saints.
Yeah, I hear you. And that is the most infuriating thing to watch year after year with the Bears, is that we come up short with field goals. And that's the big reason I think they lost to the Packers. But I will say this. If you think about the teams that could win the Super Bowl legitimately, like not just do well in the postseason, like legitimately win the Super Bowl, it's probably Chiefs, Bills, Packers. I would assume we all have the same list. Maybe you've got a fourth.
No, we legit have the same three. We talked about this earlier
with Waddle and Sylvie earlier today. We both, Abdallah and I, agree with you. We think those are the three teams that can legitimately win the Super Bowl.
Okay, so and I obviously wholeheartedly agree with that. I didn't even know you guys said that, but that's my list too. And quite frankly, I think it's the Bills and the Packers. Regardless, that's promising to me that the Bears played three really good quarters against a rival at home, in the middle of December, and that to me feels like a win. So, yeah, the Saints are good. They're not the Packers, though. They're not the Packers. So I do think that the Bears can go out offensively and score some points against this team. I know I was not encouraged by a three-game win streak against three teams that aren't in the playoffs and aren't above 500 at all. But at least I see them, like you said, sustaining drives. They've established more of a run game. It's not three and out every time we blink. Like, I at least see some consistency on the offensive side of the ball, which is promising. And yes, if Mitch Trubisky can get Allen Robinson going early, I don't think it's going to be this long of a day in New Orleans. Do I think it's going to be close all the way through? Sure. And maybe New Orleans comes out victorious. I don't think it's going to be this 21, 10 point, whatever it is, double digit swing like a lot of people are predicting.
And you mentioned that you think that it's really the Bills and the Packers. I agree with you. I think the Bills right now are better than the Chiefs. Why do you think they're better than the Chiefs?
Well, I think it's hilarious. Like, every time, and I understand why, but every time we talk about the AFC, it's like, okay, who could legitimately compete against the Chiefs? Like, that's always the question, right? Like, who could take down the Chiefs? And I'm like, why isn't the question who could take down the Bills right now? The Chiefs have not beaten a team by double-digit points since Week 8. Like, it's been a minute. And Week 8, they played the Jets, okay? So it's been a while since the Chiefs have actually gone out and thumped a team the way they were doing last year. Now, I know they're coming off of a Super Bowl win, and there's more of a bullseye on their back. And I understand they haven't had Clyde Edwards-Helaire the last couple of weeks. I understand all of these things. But I think the Chiefs are very vulnerable. Like, against the Falcons in the second-to-last game of the season, rather, when all the starters were playing, had that Falcons kicker kick that field goal, that would have been a tie game and gone into overtime. So the Chiefs, to me, are beatable this year. Just the Raiders had the secret sauce. I don't know what it was. Maybe Gruden shared it with the rest of the league now in the playoffs. But the Bills are thumping teams, like winning by double digits, playing well defensively, playing well on special teams, establishing a run game. Like, they, to me, are the most balanced, scary team right now in the NFL. I never want to rule out Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, but I certainly don't want to rule out Josh Allen at all or Stephon Diggs in the playoffs.
Talking football with Shea Peppler-Cornett right here on ESPN 1000 with Bleck and Abdallah. The Rams and the Seahawks match up on Saturday. Can Sean McVay do enough schematically to A, protect Jared Goff, and B, get the most out of him to pull off an upset against the Seahawks?
I don't know. Jared Goff is the biggest liability, I think, in these playoffs. And I can't believe I'm saying that when my team has Mitch Trubisky, but I'm saying it. Like, I truthfully think Jared Goff is the biggest liability in these playoffs. I don't care if he's healthy. I don't care if he's half healthy and his entire hand is like the Hulk. It doesn't matter to me. He turns the ball over at a high clip, and it's hard. I don't care what you have defensively if you have Aaron Donald on that side or you've got all these weapons that are now coming back on the offensive side of the ball. He turns the ball over at a high clip, and he makes poor decisions. And no matter how good of an offensive mind Sean McVay is, that's really hard to overcome against playoff-caliber teams. So, to me, I would not take the Rams as far as you can throw them in these playoffs because Jared Goff makes me nervous. Truthfully, I think they have a better shot if they have Wolford playing quarterback. I do. I think he brings more of a surprise element. He can run the football a little bit better. I think John Wolford under center is actually a better bet than having Jared Goff at this point.
I think the biggest question mark this postseason is probably what will Lamar Jackson do and can he finally get over the hump and win, you know, and have them win a game and make a playoff run. Do you think that this team has proved enough over the last few weeks to take down the Titans and make a run?
I love that this is a matchup because I remember last year, Black, I actually think it was you and I that was talking about Titans and Ravens on the air last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying, I'm like, I don't know. This Derrick Henry-led Titans team scares me. I don't care how good Lamar Jackson is. Like, we went back and forth on it. And sure enough, the Titans came out victorious. I don't think the Ravens are going to be fooled again the same way. But then again, the entire National Football League knew that Derrick Henry could run this year, and he still racked up 2,000 yards. Like, it's incredible what this man can do. I do know that the Ravens went out this offseason. They bolstered up their run defense. Like, that was the sole goal this entire season, was to have a better run defense. I don't think Henry's going to get as much as he did a year ago. However, the Ravens know, and Lamar Jackson knows, he needs this W. More than any W he's ever had, because this is going to be the narrative that follows him now forever. It's already all he's talked about leading up to this game, but he's got to go out and he's got to have a really good game. And if they lose, it cannot be on Lamar Jackson's shoulders. All that to say, I do think the Ravens take care of the Titans. The Titans have one of the worst defenses in the playoffs. Actually, they have the worst defense in the playoffs. The only thing they do well is turn you over. They're terrible in the red zone. They can't slow down the run. They can't slow down the pass. They're not good. So the Titans' defense being vulnerable makes it really easy for Lamar Jackson to capitalize.
Thank you, Shea. We appreciate it. Can we listen to you and Jordan this weekend?
You know it's Sunday, ESPN Radio, 1 to 5.
We'll be tuning in. Thank you again, Shea.
Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you soon. Go Bears.
That's Shea Peppler-Cornett from ESPN Radio. Hear her on Sunday afternoon. Follow her on Twitter, at Shea Peppler. I mean, the action in all the storylines, like Shea was saying, with the Titans and the mm-hmm, Ravens, mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson, can he win a playoff game? And also, you know, the Titans side of things, as Shea was pointing out, she called it last year. And what if Tannehill and Derrick Henry go on a nice, and Mike Vrabel, go on a nice playoff run again? Like, what if they, you know, wheel off a couple of wins here in the playoffs? Like, I then have to recalibrate what I think of Ryan Tannehill. And also, I think we all would have to recalibrate how we think teams should be building to try and win in the National Football League in 2021 and going into the future, because a run-focused team playing defense, smart coaching, with a quarterback that's so-so, and you just get the best out of them, winning football games is something to keep your eyes on. So a lot of great action and storylines in the National Football League this weekend with Wild Card Weekend. Bleck and Abdallah.
Listening to Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Bears Saints on Sunday. Wild card weekend. The Bears are in the playoffs. We like to do this here on the show. When we were on the weekends, we would ask Eric to put together a season montage to get us ready for the playoffs. I just asked him, I go, will this get people excited? He goes, kind of.
Sometimes. Parts.
And that's how this season has gone for the Chicago Bears. Let's listen back to the year that was, the 2020 Chicago Bears season.
And this game and the season's underway. Like pulling teeth in the dentist chair the way the Bears are trying to get their offense going today. 7 seconds to go. Stafford downfield and his pass is dropped by Swift. He was in the end zone. The rookie running back DeAndre Swift could not hold on. That would have been the touchdown to put the Lions in front.
Wow.
Giants and Bears today. Trubisky steps up, steps back. Trubisky will air it out. End zone, touchdown! Makes the connection with Mooney. Mitch Trubisky cashes in. Trubisky throws it. What a chain of events here for Chicago. The Chicago Bears escape. They hold off the New York Giants 17-13, the final at Soldier Field.
The Falcons have won a toss, elected to defer. Trubisky's pass is picked off.
Looks like Foles is going to come in. Trubisky all the way away from the offense. Usually when someone's that far away, you know he's not going to get in. And they need the spark right now.
Nick is up, and that was that. So the situation sucks.
The pass is caught in the end zone for a touchdown by Anthony Miller. The Chicago Bears take the lead with a minute 53 seconds remaining.
I had explained to Anthony that if I do happen to kill it, I'm going to throw it to the L.
Chicago won the toss. They defer, so it's the Bucks on offense to start the night.
Fourth down and five. Brady pass is broken up, incomplete, and the Chicago Bears are going to take over.
I don't know, Brady. I think the way Brady reacted and hold up his fourth, I think he thought it was third down.
If Brady's still standing out there. But that's fourth down, and it's Chicago's ball. And that's the end of the night, and there may be some confusion out on the field. And Brady's finally being told that's it.
As we get set for the Carolina Panthers and the Chicago Bears, goal from the 9. Foles looking to the end zone. He throws, and the catch is made for a touchdown by the rookie out of Notre Dame, Cole Kmet. His second reception of the season, his first score. Bridgewater on first down, throws it, it's picked off. DeAndre Houston Carson comes up with the interception to put an exclamation point on this game for the Chicago Bears.
We were talking to Nick Foles yesterday, and he said, you know, sometimes play calls come in, and I know that I don't have time to execute that play call. And, you know, I'm the one out here getting hit. Sometimes the guy calling the plays, Matt Nagy, he doesn't know how much time there is back here. And so that's something that they have to get worked out.
Second and 4 from the 9. Foles looking back of the end zone, and it's intercepted. Troy Hill tipped the ball, and Taylor Rapp on the interception. Worst possible scenario for the Bears.
We continue to simplify as much as we can so that we can play fast and play better.
The New Orleans Saints and the Chicago Bears today on Fox.
Conclusion of the play, personal foul, unnecessary roughness, number 83. Number 83, because of his actions, has disqualified himself from further participation.
In a 35-yard drive, good snap, good hold, ball game. Saints win it in overtime, 26-23.
I appreciate everybody's opinions and thoughts, suggestions, but I think that there's a lot more to it.
Straight ahead run. William Powers spins and scores.
The Bears try to make something happen. They're going to blitz Roquan Smith, but the line does a good job. They pick it up, trap blocking, And then this is just poor tackling. This is the Bears' defense basically giving up here.
199th meeting of this great rivalry in the books, and it's another one for the Packers, who have their 100th win over the Chicago Bears.
Mitchell Trubisky in trouble. It's a strip. Wow. The ball is out. The ball is out inside the 10-yard line. A strip sack, and it's recovered by the Lions.
Obviously, I lost the ball. I was trying to take care of the football, and it was just an unfortunate situation.
Adrian Peterson, full head of steam, trying for the goal line, and fights his way in for the touchdown, and the Detroit Lions take the lead with 1:37 to play.
No, I think it'll be pretty easy to block it out. I'm excited about the game, playing against Deshaun and the Texans.
And it's a foot race down the sideline. Jackson in pursuit. Reed in pursuit. He's gone to the house. 80-yard touchdown run.
I think we were starting to create an identity. You're feeling it. You're seeing it on the scoreboard.
A lot of special players through the years in this rivalry that goes back to 1961 between the Bears and the Vikings. First down from the 14 of Minnesota. Trying to get more. It's Montgomery, who has a hole. Montgomery to the end zone. What a run for the Bears. And a touchdown.
Will to win. Who wants it the most?
Vikings need a Hail Mary from Cousins in the end zone. Tipped in the air and
intercepted.
Sharon McManus. And the Bears have sealed it.
You know, this is a team that, since I've been here, we understand the significance of division games. And we've done pretty well against Detroit. We've done pretty well against Minnesota as a team. And, you know, we only have one win against the Packers. So that's a significant number for us that we want to improve on.
Bears coming with the blitz. Rodgers sees it, floats it down the middle. It is caught. Valdes-Scantling going to go all the way. Touchdown, Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, four more touchdown passes, and the Packers on their way to the first round bye. The good news is for Bears fans is that the Rams are about to win. And that means with the Arizona loss, the Bears will be in, even though they're going to lose this game.
Anything can happen once you get in the playoffs. Anything, especially this year.
Good work by Eric Ostrowski, the 2020 Bears season montage. If you came to the radio halfway through that, listen to it right before the game on Sunday, get you ready for the action. You're right, Eric. It was kind of like halfway through, you're like, ugh, this season wasn't so hot. And then at the end, the Packers get us, but maybe they can beat the Saints.
Maybe they
on
can.
Sunday.
Also, on Twitch on Sunday, right when the game starts, Waddle, Carmen, and Yurko will be getting together outside at Carmen's house watching the game. Watch them watch the game while you watch the game.
Eric, do we have 30 seconds to try and get two phone calls on?
Let's do it.
Is that Joe and Schauberg? We've got to make
it
quick.
15 seconds, Joe. 15 seconds, Joe.
Hey, real quick. Difference between best and greatest. Bears' best win is 73-0. Greatest win is the Super Bowl. Shame is that it's decades and decades and decades ago.
Boom.
That's the call.
Good work, Joe. Good work, Joe. Tom and Oak Lawn. Tom and Oak Lawn. 15 seconds. Tom and Oak Lawn.
Tom.
Nagy was wrong for not tailing the offense against Mitch. Mitch is terrible because he still can't read defenses. Thank you guys for retweeting my tweet about raising money for PAWS.
Roll Tide, Tom. Roll Tide.
Yes, absolutely. Anything for dogs, too. We will be back on Monday with Waddle and Sylvie at 2.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.